Today we're going to learn about a time to be holy.
Always.
Well, maybe more accurately, a time to create holiness. Beginning of the fourth reading, Parshas Emor, chapter 23. At this point, the Parsha switches gears. We're not talking about Kohanim anymore. Now we're going to be speaking about the Yamim Tovim, about the holidays. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemer. God speaks to Moses, saying... You ever wonder about that redundancy? God speaks to Moses saying? Why does he have to speak to him saying? So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says in Parshas, way back in Chumash Mais, Parshas Mishpatim, he says that Vayidaber means that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to say whatever he had to say. So that's the pshat. That's the literal meaning. But then lemer is the mystical meaning, that which is beneath the surface. So Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Torah at all times on two levels. There's the literal meaning, and then there's the deeper figurative and spiritual ideas that are being conveyed. So, Dabir al-Bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'amarta aleihem, and you should say to them, and here we have that, you know, same redundancy, so it makes sense to say that there's the facts as they are, that's the Dabir, and then there's the softer, or more nuanced, or subtle things, like the spiritual, or mystical element. Moyade Hashem, the festivals of God. Asher tikru oisam, which you will call them. Mikroi kodesh. Holiness, callings of holiness. Elohim moyadoi. These are my festivals. That sounds very circuitous. So first of all, it's like redundancy here. Dabar al bnei Yisrael. Speak to the children of Israel. V'amarta aleihem. So we're going to follow the approach of Rabbeinu Bechaya. Dabar is... You give them the facts. Yomar Talem. Explain to him the full profundity, the full depth of what's going on here. And then we say, Moyadei Hashem, statement. We're now going to talk about the festivals of God. It's God's festivals. Not our festivals, God's festivals. Asher Tikru Eisa, Mikra Kedesh. What's the festivals of God? That you will call holy. What you will call holy will be the festivals of God. So we start off with the festivals of God, and then we shift into... But you, meaning us, the Jewish people, will call holy. So Elohim, those are Moyadai. Those are my holidays. So God starts off with the statement that it's Moyadai Hashem, it's God's holidays. He finishes the verse with the statement, Elohim, these are Moyadai, my holidays. And in the middle, there's this idea of Tikru Isam Mikroi Kedesh. You will call them holiness. You will call forth this holiness. Let's take a look in Rashi. Dabar al bnei Yisrael. Rashi transcribes the words, speak to the children of Israel. And then he skips over the next words, v'yamarta aleihem. And he goes straight to Moyadei Hashem, the festivals of God. And Rashi says the following. Even though they're God's festivals, nonetheless, the emphasis is asher tikru oisam, that you will call forth. Which means, asei moyadois, sheyiyu kol Yisrael behem. It's about God. So it's God's festivals. But on the other hand, it should be about Israel, the Jewish people's festivals. Which means that it can't just be a festival for God. It has to be a festival that the Jewish people are able to participate in. What does that mean? Like, what, are you going to find a convenient weekend for the festival? What do you mean at a time when they are able to? Whenever the Yom Tov comes, that's when you have to be ready. People always say to me, Rosh Hashanah is coming early this year. And I'm like, Rosh Hashanah comes exactly when it comes every year. Well, Pesach so late this year. Oh, not really. It's always Pesach, so he's going to be Pesach. It's always the 15th of Nisan. Rosh Hashanah is always the 15th of Tishrei. But it's a euphemism, figure of speech, right? Because people live on the secular calendar and there's the seasons, and sometimes you're 3 weeks this way, and sometimes 3 weeks that way, and sometimes there's a leap year, so you're 4 weeks the other way. So this is all about the whether Pesach comes early or late, or Rosh Hashanah comes early. It has everything to do with the leap year. It has to do with the fact that we have a lunar calendar, and then we have solar or seasonal years, which means you're missing 11 and a half days. At all times, you're always missing 11 and a half days from every single year. So invariably, the years are going to shift one way or the other way. You're never going to have perfectly calibrated years. So what does it mean then that you should make the festivals, tailor them in accordance with the Jewish people? It means Melamed, this teaches us, says Rashi, Shema'abrim es hashana. Now the word ma'abrim, the word ibur, shares a common root with the terminology of pregnancy. It means that when a woman is pregnant, she is herself and she has another person with her, the baby. She's including now another person. So we can have a pregnant year, which means a year always has 12 months. This is a pregnant year. It includes also a 13th month, right? That's why it's called Chodesh HaIbur, the pregnant month. The pregnant month means the month that's added into it, still kind of subsumed into the year. It doesn't become additional. We don't add months outside of a year. You only get years. But sometimes those years are slightly pregnant, which means they have an additional month added into them. So Ma'abrim es Hashana al Golius Shenakru min Mekoyman. It would be appropriate to lengthen the year, to add another month in the year, even if seasonally it's not necessary, if there is some group of Jewish people, a significant group, that are living in exile outside of the land of Israel, for whenever we live outside the land of Israel, invariably, no matter how good our conditions are, that's called exile. So they have uprooted themselves, and they are coming, not to make aliyah, not to move to Israel, but they're coming, la'alois l'regel. They're coming to come for the festivals. V'adayin l'higil Yerushalayim. But this group doesn't reach Yerushalayim yet. And we figure out that if Pesach will come when Pesach's supposed to come, they'll be late. Maybe they'll make Pesach Sheni, but that's not what they came for. They came for Pesach. They won't make it. So you say, like, schedule yourself more accordingly. Leave a little earlier. Wasn't their fault. There was a sandstorm. There was a hurricane. This was a big deal. A whole settlement of Jews, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands. It's a big deal. They don't get to come every year. This year they decided they're going to do it. Bite the bullet. They're going to take the extra expense. They're going to leave home. It's a big deal. And they send a message, like, we're not able to. So some runner manages to get there early. He says, we could be a week late. There's just no way we're going to make it. So in such a situation, the Sanhedrin can decide, you know what? It's right now, other 27, 28. We're going to make this new Rosh Chodesh, not Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but rather it's going to be Rosh Chodesh Adar Hasheni. And you say, but we just had Purim. He said, yeah, so we'll have Purim again. What are you going to do? It wasn't Purim Katan. All right, it was regular Purim. Now we're going to have a second regular Purim. Most people wouldn't complain about that. Right? And that's what happens. So in other words, you could make a decision based on the situation of the Jewish people. Why? Because it's so important for all of Am Yisrael to participate in this event.
But you would only do that for Pesach, though.
I presume. The only time you can add, you can't just add months anywhere you want. You can add a month at the end of the year. The first month is Nisan, the last month is Adar, you can add a 13th month. Right. You can't add a 7B, an extra Tishrei.
If they were to make Aliyah to come for Sukkot, that wouldn't work.
That wouldn't work.
No.
There's no option.
Just Pesach.
The option would be Pesach.
Okay.
In the language of the Ramban, he says, Sheyiyu b'yom hazeh kulam kruyim v'ne'asofim l'kadosh. He said that on this day everybody should be called, like invited, gathered, in order to sanctify it. Ki mitzvah hi al yisrael lehikovitz v'beisor lekim b'yom hamoed. Ramban says it's a mitzvah for the Jewish people to gather in God's home on that appointed time, l'kadosh hayom, b'farhesya, to sanctify the day in a very public way, b'tfila, with prayer, v'halal Hashem, with thanksgiving, b'ksusnikia, with beautiful clothing, v'lasa says to Mishnah, to make it a day of feasting. And therefore Ramban says, l'chach, because it's so important for the Yom Tov to have this idea of being, so to speak, involved, engaged with the Jewish people. It's not just God's festivals. It has to be our festivals. Can't just be the festivals, well, it's God's festival. Nobody came? Well, God doesn't need you. No, God said, I do need you. And because it's Mikroi Kedesh, because it's the festivals you're calling forth holiness, that means everybody comes together, everybody's davening in unison, they're making Kiddush together, they're dressed in the Yom Tov finery together. All of this, and for this, mutav litchei zmanoi, kedei she'inyin amoyed yiskayim b'miluyah. It is worth, it is valuable, it is meaningful, Ramban says, to push off the festival from its appointed time so that all the Jewish people can participate. In other words, the participation of the people is a critical component in the idea of Yom Tov. And that's why we start off with God's Yom Tov, and we move to the people's Yom Tov, and God says, by the way, that's my Yom Tov. When it's the people's Yom Tov, it's my Yom Tov. So this is how the Rashi explains it. In the words of some of the other Rishonim, and really even Goyim, Reb Sadia Goyen says, what's the difference between Mikra and Kodesh? He says, this includes two things. There's the idea of us calling forth holiness. He says there's the notion of Maisa and Dibur. There's actions and there's talk. People say that talk is cheap, but not always. Sometimes talk can be very meaningful. Sometimes people worry about hate speech, bad speech, dangerous speech. Speech is a very powerful thing. So it's not meaningless. And we're told when it comes to Yom Tov that both we have to, if you will, pony up in both ways. We have to connect Hashem both ways. We act in a certain way. We avoid work. We go through the various motions, like Ramban says, ksus nikia, wearing appropriate finery and so on and so forth. And at the same time, there's also a great deal of verbiage that's used, making kiddush, the prayers, especially Yom Tov prayers, singing the halal. These are all parts of observing the Yom Tov, all necessary. And so Reb Sadia Goyen maintains in his translation that Mikra'i Kodesh includes, it targets both actions as well as words that are Yom Tov oriented. In the words of the Shach al HaTorah, he says something very interesting. Siv Sikreinim says, when you learn Torah in these days, then you'll call forth holiness. So everybody always focuses on the food. What are you eating for Yom Tov? Right? Or people may be focused on where you're going to daven for Yom Tov, but they often forget to focus on the Torah study of Yom Tov. So the Siv Sikreinim says, Mayde Hashem Asher Tikru Oisem Mekar Kedesh, you make them holy. How do you make the days holy? By studying Torah. When you study the Torah on these days, that's what makes the days holy. And actually, there's a very interesting teaching from the Alter Rebbe where he says that you have to make them your festivals. So how do you make them your festivals? When you study about the festivals and when you identify with them. Because we, as human beings, identify with ideas we understand. So when you study about it, and then it resonates with you, you appreciate the message of the Yom Tov, then it's your Yom Tov. Then it becomes the festival that belongs to you. It's not just God's festival. And God says, that's my festival. So it starts off with God's festival. It shifts on to us, the responsibility that we should make it our festival. And the Pasuk finishes with God ratifying that idea and saying, when you make it your festival, Mayadei Hashem. Elehem Mayadei. That's my festival. That's, to me, that's called a festival. So really, this idea of God's festival and the festival of the people of Israel is not mutually exclusive. In fact, they dovetail, they come together. Hashem is telling us that's what makes his festival his festival. So now let's take a look in a very, very interesting quote. This quote comes from our sages in the Teres Kerenim. And the quote is as follows. Kidshuhu Anusim, page Shin Gimel. Page Shin Gimel. Kidshuhu, the Beth Din sanctified the new moon, and that's really part of the subtle message here of us making this holiness, which we didn't speak about as much, is that the Beth Din makes the holiness. The holiness doesn't happen by itself. The Beth Din, who decides is going to be a leap year? Who decides to make a year pregnant? People just don't decide by themselves. The Beth Din is to declare holiness. When Beth Din declare holiness, that's how it becomes holy. So the Teres Kerenim says, Kitshu Anusim, they did sanctify it, but they did so under duress. Maybe there was pressure for the king. There were stories like this, of the king who had exerted political pressure, because for one reason or another, he needed Pesach delayed. He needed to buy time. Maybe it was Shagigan. Maybe the Beth Din made a mistake. Maybe they got wrong information. They thought that this was the right way. The meteorologist told them the wrong thing. Or maybe it wasn't the meteorologist. Maybe it was the GPS of the people coming was faulty. Got wrong information. So Anusim, or Shagigim, or Mutayim. Somebody actually deliberately fed them bad information. Why would somebody do that? Otherwise, corrupt Jews wanted to harm the Jewish people, make fun of the Bezdin, make a mockery of them. So they fed them the wrong information. And then they sanctified the new moon. So this is going to be a situation not only of adding an extra month, this is actually sanctifying the new moon, where maybe false witnesses came and said, we saw the new moon, we saw it reappear. And these guys are so skilled, they know exactly what they're doing and how they're saying. And they managed to fool the Bezdin. The Bezdin says, okay, it's strange, we didn't really expect it, but mekudesh achedesh mekudesh. And then they go laughing at us and says, we fooled those guys. We never saw the new moon. Everybody knows it was a cloudy day. So what happens now? Minayin shom mekudesh. How do we know that it's still considered to be holiness? Or maybe mistaken holiness isn't holiness at all. Made a mistake. Finished. Nothing doing. So the Teiris Kerenim says, Talmud Loimar, the verse comes to teach me, Asher Tikru Oysam B'mayadam. What you will call, what does Oysam mean? Says the Teiris Kerenim, Oysam Afilu Mutoyim. You, even if you are mistaken. Oysam Afilu Anusim. You, even if you're under duress. Im Kerisem Atem. If you called it, Mayaday. You call it, it's mine. Im Lav, you didn't call it. Even if it's the right thing. The moon's in the heavens. Why was everybody sleeping? Nobody saw it. You didn't call it? The Bezdin didn't call it? Ain't a Mayaday. It's not my holidays. So this really goes very far. In other words, the notion of it being God's holidays is to the point that God, so to speak, is vested entirely in us. It's all in our hands. In the Nachal Kidumim, he takes this Teres Kerenim and he articulates it and explains it as follows. He says that the times of the festivals are always affixed by the Bethdin. And Hashem says, if the Bethdin affixes it, if Sanhedrin says it, it's like I said it. It's as if God legislated a part of his control. He said, I have legislated the control to create holy days to the Jewish people. Whatever they'll say. You have a Sanhedrin, it's a valid Sanhedrin. Whatever your Sanhedrin will decide, that's the way it's going to be. End of story. Which is extraordinary words. God says, that's my Adai. I gave you the password. I gave you the keys. You make the decision, whatever you do, that's what I'll follow, that's what I'll abide by. Now understand something. When a Jew, Chas v'Shalom, would eat on Yom Kippur, he's doing a terrible thing. He's really soiling and damaging his soul. And when we have the opportunity to observe Yom Kippur, something extraordinary and marvelous is happening in the heavens. It's not a little thing. It's a big deal. Like if you sit in a sukkah the day before sukkah, you're wasting your time. If you sit in the sukkah on the festival of Sukkot, something extraordinary is unfolding. You take a little of an esrog, you wave it in different directions, like we learned in last night's class, you could literally be stopping hurricanes. Only if you do it on Sukkot. What if you do it there of Sukkot? Well, I'm wasting your time. Who made that decision? Who decides when God is going to legislate holiness? Who decides when God is going to make something happen or not? We. Wow. That's like, think about that. Think about what Hashem has given us, what He's put in our hands. And of course, we know when we say Kiddush and Davening also on Friday night or on Shabbos day, what do we say? We finish off the words, it's the last words of Kiddush. Mikadesh HaShabbat. God sanctifies the Shabbat. How does Yom Tov finish on Kiddush? Mikadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. He sanctifies Israel and the appointed times. In other words, first he sanctifies Israel, and only when Israel sanctifies the time does it become Hazmanim, God sanctifying the time. Shabbat, it gets consecrated from heaven. That's Mikadesh HaShabbos. God sanctifies the Shabbos. But when it comes to Yom Tov, we, the Jewish people, sanctify time.
Bring Shabbat in early.
Yeah, you could bring Shabbat in early, but you can only bring Shabbat in early according to the clock from Plag HaMincha. You can't bring it in earlier than you can bring it in. So once it's already available, you can download it. It's like before the new operating system gets released, you can't download it. So all you get to do is download. That's all. But you don't create anything. Here, you get to create something. So the Rebbe comments on this halacha. Halacha zu dereshes hezber mebechine mehusis. This halacha needs to be understood like fundamentally. Something doesn't make sense over here. Hagderasei shel rosh chodesh. If you ask somebody to define, so what is rosh chodesh? Or when is rosh chodesh? So if you look in the secular calendar, they have like 28-day months in February, or 29-day or 31-day months. It doesn't really have a connection with the heavenly bodies. In fact, you could even have a blue moon, which is not blue, by the way. We just had one this year. You know what a blue moon means? Yeah. It means that the moon appears twice in the same month, which is very rare. It's very rare that you should have two full moons in the same month. It's not impossible. It's a month begins with a full moon. The month can end with another full moon. In other words, the whole cycle goes through. You have the 15 days of the moon's descent in the first 15 days of the month, and then the next 15 days of the moon's waxing in the next 15 days, so you have two moons. And because it's very rare, the expression comes once in a blue moon. So there's no way to look at the heavens and say, it's May 3rd today. It's in people's hands. People do whatever they want. The heavenly bodies do their thing, and whoever does the secular calendar does his or her thing, and it's just the way it is. But not when it comes to the Jewish calendar. When is Rosh Chodesh? What's the definition of Rosh Chodesh? Hayom shebo mitchadeshet halavana. That's the day that the moon renews itself. The sliver reappears. That's Rosh Chodesh. Chodesh, the word Chodesh in Hebrew, which is the word for month, is actually etymologically related to what word? Chidush, which means novelty, new. It's a new moon. So when people come along and they call Rosh Chodesh the new moon, that's actually not an incorrect translation. It's actually a correct translation. So Ketzad Yotachan, how then would we say, Sheyachar Rosh Chodesh be'amachar, Rosh Chodesh be in a different day? Why? Because the people made a mistake. Because they thought the moon's going to reappear. Because somebody fed the Bezdin wrong information. So they made a Rosh Chodesh. And what happened? Nothing. No moon. It's Rosh Chodesh. But the moon didn't show up. The new moon doesn't come till the next day. Sorry. It's Rosh Chodesh. What do you mean? It's not Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh needs a new moon. If you don't have a new moon, you don't have Rosh Chodesh. Who cares what the Bezdin said? Isn't the definition of new moon Rosh Chodesh? How does this work? How could you say it's just because Bezdin said it? So the Rebbe offers us an extraordinary spiritual perspective on the new moon and the Bezdin and the workings of holiness, but really, in a broader sense, on how we look at things from a Torah perspective. He says like this, Moilud halavana eino mitrachesh ba'olam hazeh bilvad. The rebirth of the moon, if you will, or the reappearance of the moon, is not only something that happens in the physical realm. It also happens in the spiritual realm. Everything that happens in the physical material realm is happening in the spiritual realm. Gam sham yeshnam shemesh. In the spiritual world, there is also a sun, and there's a yireach, there's a moon. Of course, not in a physical material sense, not in a terrestrial sense, but moving a ruchni. It's not a ball of fire, and it's not a moon that just reflects its light, but the concept of sun and moon exists on a spiritual level too. And guess what? Every Rosh Chodesh, that spiritual moon is born again. What is most important now? What's the most foundational? Is it the physical reality or the spiritual reality? What do you think is more important? What do we really believe in? The spiritual reality. Let me ask a different question. The physical reality, here today, gone tomorrow. The spiritual reality, it's eternal. Our neshamas live forever. Our bodies? It's a blip on the screen. So Meilad Zeh, this rebirth, the Meilad Halvana Haruchni, the spiritual reappearance of the moon, Hu HaKeveh Rosh Chodesh, that's what makes Rosh Chodesh. So what's the problem? If it's a spiritual rebirth, the moon making Rosh Chodesh, what's the problem? The problem is we're not spiritual people. The problem is with terrestrial people. How would we ever know when it's Rosh Chodesh? What's the answer? For us, like human beings living in this terrestrial world, we have no way of knowing that. We don't have a yechidus lagieli, the yeshira la nasa by lemasel yenim. We cannot have. We don't have the inner scoop of what's going on in the heaven. So tziv sa'atayda, the Torah commands us. Shenikvas eshchidish alpi moilud halavana hagashmi is. The Torah says that we should base our calculations on the material moon, because we don't know what's going on with the spiritual moon. So the material moon's movements will become the basis for our calculations and ultimate decisions. Yachadim zeis, along with this, however. Once a Bethden has spoken, for whatever reason, Mikol Siba, whatever reason it was, and they said, Rosh Chodesh Yachol B'Yemachar, Rosh Chodesh should be in another day, Hare Uv Dezu Atzma, this itself is proof to us, shebe mikra zef, that for one, some reason or another, meilad halavana haruchni ein ezeil, meilad halavana hagashmi, that for whatever reason, this time, this month, this year, the moon, in the terrestrial sense, is not perfectly lined up with the spiritual moon. But we believe that the Beis Din operates by the power that Hashem gives it, with the principles of Torah and mitzvahs, that what they'll say, that's what God wants. And therefore, if they said it, it must be so in the spiritual sense. Aye, in our world, it didn't seem like that. We didn't see the moon. There isn't. We don't see an identical reality happening on earth. All right. Sometimes the physical reality and the spiritual reality aren't always in perfect corollary. When will the spiritual moon move? Or more accurately put, who moves the spiritual moon?
Hashem does.
Hashem does. Well, Hashem says we do. You make it Rosh Chodesh, you're moving the spiritual moon. Will we change the movements of the physical moon? Not necessarily. Not necessarily always. But there's a deeper spiritual reality. And that's how it's possible for Beis Din to say it's Rosh Chodesh. And we say it really is Rosh Chodesh. But it's not Rosh Chodesh. There's no new moon. Doesn't matter. Really, it is Rosh Chodesh because on a spiritual level, it must be Rosh Chodesh. And that means that we, the Jewish people, not only can have an effect on the physical material realm, but we can actually change the heavens. We can change the heavens. We can change the destiny of heaven, the spiritual reality, which is extraordinary. We always believe we can change the physical reality. Here we're being told that Hashem empowered us to the point that we can create holiness, not only the technical conditions that will allow for holiness to unfold or unfurl in this world, but we can even allow and create the phenomenon that brings about holiness in the heavenly realm. Not the angels, us, Neshamas Yisrael, souls invested in bodies right here on planet Earth.
Didn't you originally say that even if they get it wrong here, that the spiritual moon is still in its time?
Well, initially we thought that the spiritual moon, we didn't talk about a spiritual moon, we spoke only about a material moon. The chiddush here is, the novelty of the Rebbe, what the Rebbe's understanding is, that there's a spiritual reality that's like an alter ego of the physical reality. And the ultimate barometer of the spiritual truth is the movements of the Beis Din on earth, what Am Yisrael does. So we are not just observing reality, but in fact, when we use the power given to us by Torah, we are creating reality. So when we do the right things, now it's self-understood. If we can change the spiritual moon, for sure we can change Golus into Geula by doing what we're supposed to do and catalyze the coming of Mashiach, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen.
So it's right, we can change the weather. Thank you.